Good morning. Our crowds are getting bigger and bigger, and that is very good to see and enjoyable to see. When we decided to do this, that we felt like the congregation, our members, need to hear from the elders more often, we decided we would take an opportunity to speak to you from time to time, and I have no idea how often that's going to be. But Brady and Jeff always look at me and go, he's the weak one, let's make him go first. Not really. Small joke, but for the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've been thinking about this. And since last month, we talked about our annual meeting and what happened last year and what we want to happen this year. I had several thoughts about being fruitful. And I wanted to share some thoughts with you about being fruitful, although there are so many things about being fruitful, hopefully you're going to hear throughout the entire year. And that's what we want to concentrate on. If I can get this thing to work properly, whoops. Maybe that is the first thing I wanted, I'm not sure. I wanted to talk to you about being fruitful. Being fruitful, in a simple definition, is reproducing the fruit. We need to be spiritual. A lot of things come into being fruitful or being spiritual. And one of the things that comes thought about is we're all going to have to work. You're going to have an active participation for us to be successful this year. We need people to be positive. We need people to be a positive influence on others. We need to do whatever we need to do on an individual basis to help the whole move in the correct direction. I don't know that this is going to work out the way that I had set it up. I'm not sure. There it is. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I'm one of those guys that needs somebody watching over him, helping him out from time to time. Fruitful, as I said, we're just expecting, we want good results. We want things to be beneficial, profitable, fruitful. Spiritually, it means that we got to take an active part. We need to be a positive influence for each other. We're going to have to help the whole move in the correct direction. We all have to help, and we all have a role to do. And there are some few thoughts I wanted to take and talk about in that vein. 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 20, the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians that he said, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body." And I think it's quite obvious to all of us that there's many of us. We need to come together as one whole. To do that takes work. It takes effort. It takes an idea and a thought to go forward with. As Paul told the Philippians, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. We all have a part. Some of our parts will be the same as a few other people. Some of our parts will not be what other people are doing. It's just us or just you. You know, when we think about things, I went backwards, went the wrong way. Okay, maybe I've got to figure it out now. Being fruitful. Kyle, you do a good job on this. I didn't realize how good you were at this. Hopefully we'll get there, and if not, I've got my notes, and I'll go through this. We decided the theme for this year was to be fruitful. And a lot of people may want and understand and ask, why do we need a theme? A theme is the idea of giving everybody the same direction. Any organization that is worth its salt and is successful, everybody is pulling in the same direction. The head, somebody needs to decide which way we're going, what we're going to do, what we're going to concentrate on, and we need to head in that direction. If you don't have a direction, as with all organizations, you're going to wander. You're going to go from here to there and back and around, and you may not know where you've been or why you've been there or where you're headed. It's kind of like a ship in the sea without a rudder. It's going to go wherever the wind blows it. It's going to go wherever the winds take it. It's going to go wherever the currents take it. And is that where you really want to go? So that's one of the reasons we come up with one, and we want to communicate to everybody the desires that we have, and to communicate to you what the theme should be. Hopefully I can get back to this, maybe not. To get there, we want to be able to communicate with you. Communication is very difficult in everyday situations, period. We all don't communicate. A marriage, people have to communicate. Where are we headed? What are we doing? What's your job? What's my job? What's everybody else going to do? But a communication, true good communication, is a two-way street. There are going to be people who are speaking, and if you're speaking, there's going to be people who need to be hearing it, listening. If you're writing the word, if you're writing out things that need to be done, there need to be people who are going to read it. Somebody's got to write it, somebody's got to read it. That tells us that there's two sides to communication. And with communication, both sides share equally in the ability to communicate. We oftentimes want to communicate to somebody and we tell them what we feel or what we're trying to communicate, and they don't hear the same thing that we're saying. So there is no communication there. As with a marriage, as with a friendship, as with a family, as with a business, we need to communicate. So we need to share in the same direction, in the same path. Before we can bear fruit, we must work together. I know I've got some good stuff on this. There we go. Before we can bear fruit, we must work together. We've got to communicate. You got to take responsibility for receiving the communication. We got to take the responsibility for giving the communication. Before we can all work together, we also must to agree to the direction that we're going. And ultimately, all of us, and what's been said at the Lord's table, what's been read in the scripture reading this morning, what's been said in prayers, ultimately, we need to expand the borders of Christ's kingdom. We need to help each other expand those borders. And in helping each other expand those borders, we hopefully find the ultimate goal, and that is being in paradise, in the presence of God, in eternity. That's what we're looking for. But before we can do that, we got to agree what we must be, and we must be all of the same mind. If we're not all of the same mind, we're not going to be headed in the same direction. Let's hope this goes where I need it to go. All right, 1 Corinthians 1, in the first chapter, verse 9 through 11, Paul continued to tell or also told the Corinthians, God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. We got to work together so we don't have contentions among us. We need to all be saying the same thing. We all need no divisions against us. We need to be joined together perfectly. That means holy, not without error, but holy. And we need to be in the same mind and the same judgment. If you think about it, guys, it's really kind of sad. If you think about everything Jesus Christ has done for us, God, creation of the universe, the earth, physical blessings, spiritual blessings, life. Think about the freedoms we enjoy in this country. Think about the freedoms we have to go out and do the things we want to do. Think about the securities that we enjoy in this life. Go through history and think about the things that other people have had to face. I go to bed at night and I don't worry about what I'm going to eat the next day. I go to bed at night and I go to sleep and I don't worry about somebody trying to kill me. Throughout history, it hasn't always been that way. We live in a very unique, beautiful situation. Now, everything's not perfect. I'm not trying to say they are. Our political system seems to be in shambles. Thankfully, our political system is not in the direction of where we're going to go in eternity. But all of that being given to us, Jesus Christ, as Brady is talking about at the table, came to this earth and lived a perfect life. He died for us. He gave a sacrifice. Why did he give a sacrifice? Because it was set up in the New Testament and taught to us by God that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It had to be a perfect sacrifice. In other words, it had to be somebody without blemish. That's what the Old Testament sacrifices were. He came here and lived a perfect life, and he gave his life up for us. What are we going to do? We are a congregation in Amarillo, Texas, and I'm so glad you're here. But we have work to do, and we need to head in that direction. Today, I don't want to share with you any thoughts or really talk about the directions of being fruitful as a congregation, because I don't think we can be fruitful as a congregation until each and every one of us starts to work on being fruitful as an individual. Then we can come together and do maybe some greater things. I want to talk about the individuals. I want to share with you ideas and thoughts that I have. There's really two right now that I want to share with you. And if we'll work on these, I think everything else will become a little bit easier. You know, last year it was tough. It's been almost 12 months that we have started to deal with COVID-19. And as we thought we were coming out of it, nature throws us one of the worst, coldest storms we've had in years, decades. I don't know. We all have a reason to be disgruntled. Not normal. I want to do what I used to do. Hopefully we're headed that direction. But even if we're not, we got to do the things that God has given us to do. We need to get back. We need to get away from all the change we had this last year. We need to get into a rhythm. We need to be fruitful. But before we can be fruitful as a congregation, we got to be fruitful as individuals. And here's what I would like for us to consider, a couple of things before we go. We've got to pull the rope together. And before we can pull the rope together, we got congregational goals. But before that, we got to do individual. Before we can pull together, we must be of the same mind, as Paul told the Corinthians. So we got to work on being of the same mind. How do we get to the point where we can be of the same mind? And we must be in fellowship with Jesus Christ. Because if we are not doing what he's commanded us to do and what he's given us examples to do and what he's written about for us to do, we're wasting our time. So, 2 Corinthians. Again, Paul tells the Corinthians, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? He's asking a question, and these questions are rhetorical. The answer is obvious. Fellowship, you know, with believers, for fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness. It has nothing to do with lawlessness. It has everything to do with lawful. How can we be lawful if we don't know what lawful is? Darkness and light. He gave us a lot of examples and we need to look at them. If we look at 1 John, the first chapter, verses 5 through 7. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's what we're interested in. That's what we want. We want forgiveness of our sin. What do we have to do? We have to walk together. Where? In the light. Why? Jesus Christ is light. And if we're walking that light, we have fellowship one with another. Then the individuals come together as a whole. And once we come together as a whole, we can work on those being fruitful as a congregation. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our sin as long as we're in the light. For us in part to be fruitful, our members, our individual members must be fruitful. Each one of us needs to decide to be of one mind, come together. We need to be in fellowship with Jesus Christ, with Him, in the light. And to do those things, we have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. As I was growing up, oftentimes all I ever heard was, "Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ?" And it used to kind of bother me and dig me the wrong way because I thought, you know, that's my God, that's my King, that's my lawgiver, that's my judge. We are not buddy-buddies. But there is a relationship we're supposed to have with Jesus Christ. And as with all relationships that we have to communicate. As we talked about them, husband and wife have to communicate two ways. They both have to take responsibility for communicating. Am I speaking in a way that you can hear me? Am I hearing what you're trying to say? Do we agree? Where do we go from here? What are we going to do? Every relationship we have has communication. It's a two-way street. We must listen to God's word, and we must speak to Him. So the two things I want us to consider as individuals, as the group of Olson Park, is we have to get things right for ourselves. And I'm talking about people who've been Christians for 40, 50 years. I'm talking to people who have been Christians just a few years. There's things we need to do on a daily basis to do what we need to do. And we need to talk and we need to listen. Prayer, study. We have to do those things. I know when I graduated from high school, I wasn't very smart. I thought, I'm through. I have spent 12 long years learning and going through this system, and I'm through. I'm not learning anymore. I don't want to go to college, and I didn't start there. And then we had somebody at a graduation ceremony saying, "Your life is just beginning." Oh no, wait a minute. I put in 12 years already. And now looking back, boy, I wasn't very smart. Life is learning. If you don't learn, you're going to get left behind. If you don't learn, you're not going to make the money you need to make to, you know, support your family. If you don't learn, you're going to make mistakes and you're going to continue to make the same mistakes over and over that you should not be making. I didn't understand what they were really telling me is you're going to have to communicate with a whole lot more people now. And that's what we need to do. And we need to take the responsibility to do that. In Revelation, the third chapter, John writes to us, and he's talking about Jesus Christ. "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me." Jesus Christ is doing his part to communicate with us. He's standing at the door and he's knocking. What do we do when people knock at our door? Well, right now in my day and age, I really don't want to go answer the door very often. Because 9 times out of 10, it's not a neighbor, it's not a friend, it's somebody trying to sell me something. So I kind of knock or open the door hesitantly. But if we don't open the door, we don't know what's there. If we don't invite Jesus Christ in, he's not going to come in and sup with us. We have to take the responsibility to say, "Come. I want to learn." I'm not saying you have to be a scholar, but you got to learn the things we need to do to communicate with Jesus Christ. He's trying to communicate with us. He is not alive here on this earth in the sense of being physical. He's alive. He's here. He's asking you to talk with him. He's coming to your door and knocking, and he wants to be in your life. Are we opening the door, and are we letting him in to sup with us? And back then, if you look at Old Testament times, eating together was very special to them. It's special to us now. And one horrible thing about COVID-19 is it stopped us from doing that. We're not sharing our desires, our fears, our anxieties, our funny jokes. We're not sharing things with people other than the people who live in our house. We got to break out of this. I'm not saying be unhealthy, and I'm not saying go risk everything. But we got to get back to the work of God. Jesus Christ is knocking. He wants to come in. He wants to share with us. Are we going to let him? Like I said, I think I really am talking to people who have been Christians for 40, 50, 60 years, and I'm talking to people who have been Christians 1 or 2 years. You never get to the point where you know it all. You never get to the point where you can't share some very beneficial things with other people. Jesus Christ is trying to communicate with us. He's knocking at the door. Let's open up the door. Jesus Christ promises that he will try, and if so, we can be successful. Matthew 7. Now, on the Sermon of the Mount, the greatest sermon that was ever preached and taught. Starting with verse 7, he says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will not find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." I don't know how many times I've heard that verse quoted and talked about and preached about, and I sit there kind of like that high school senior that was graduating, and it went right over the top of my head. What kind of position, when I was talking a while ago about how sad it is, what Christ has offered us and given us, and we're not participating in everything he's given us, this is one of them. You want to know, you want to grow, you want to communicate with him? Seek it. Ask it. Knock on the door. Knock for and look for it. You know, if we have questions, we really need to ask. We need to talk to God. Who do we need to ask? What about all of us? How many people have been here for 40 or 50 years, not here at Olson Park, but been in this relationship, been in this growth? How many times do you go ask them the things that you're kind of confused about? I still read things. I was reading something last night and run across it, and it's like, man, I still don't get that. But how many times we just let that go? Find somebody and ask them. Help me grow. Help me learn what he's saying. The truth is there for us. Ask, seek. The word seek means that you're going to look for it. We've all had kids, or at least those of us who are married and have families and we have kids, and they say, "I can't find my shoe." Go look for it. "I did. It's not there." And you get up and you go upstairs and you open the door and there it's laying in the middle of the floor. Did they really seek? No. But they want you to think they did. They want your help. They got to learn how to start looking, how to seek. That's us. We need to learn how to look sometimes, how to seek. Who do we need to ask? If you want your marriage to last forever, don't go talk to somebody who's been divorced 5 times. If you're looking somebody to ask a question, go to the people that are successful with it. You got children, you're having a problem with them, go to somebody who's raised kids. And I'm not saying they know everything and they know all that you need to know, but at least start where some of the positive influences, the successful people are. We got to knock. What is knocking? I mean, you knock on a door, you're looking for somebody to open it. You got to put forth the effort. We got to put forth the effort. What I'm getting at here, guys, is Christ is trying to talk to us. He's given us, there's been times I've lifted up the Bible here. He's given us the truth. This is a not an iPad, an electronic device that has the Bible on it. He's given us all the answers. Do we really believe that? All the answers to being a Christian and the things that are important in our lives is right there. How often do we open it up and how often do we look at it? We have to make the effort, are we? Think about it. Look in the mirror. Can we be approved of God? 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself proved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What's that imply to us? We got to go through the process of learning. We do not graduate high school when you're baptized. It's not all over. It's just beginning. When you're 80 years old, you're still working at it. You're still learning. You're still sharing. We got to study it. That means we got to open it up. How often do we need to do it? I know you don't want to necessarily hear this, but it needs to be daily. I don't have the time. Maybe your priorities are wrong. What's the most important thing in our lives? It's where our heart is, right? Where our mind is, where our heart is, that's what we're thinking about. Is it God? And I'm not saying it has to be 24 hours a day. But are we learning on a daily basis? Are we expanding? Are we reading the Scriptures? Now, I'll stand here and I'll tell you and I'll be honest with you. I have not read the Bible every day of my life. I'm getting a whole lot better at it. And I should have got a whole lot better at it back in 20. If you're there, start now. If you didn't do it before, let's get going. Let's read. Do you have to read 15 chapters every night? No. Do what's best for you. Read small little chunks of it. Work on it. Think about it. Meditate on it. Ask somebody about it if you don't get it. Maybe that's what's best for you. We're all different. What did he tell us about all the members that fit together perfectly? We're all different. We got to do what's best for me. I'm talking to you. Not what's best for Olson Park. What's best for you first? What do you need to do? Do we need to make some changes? Probably. I did. And it is amazing how often on a daily basis that you read the Scriptures that Kyle talks about it sometimes up here on Sundays. I just read about that. And I kind of feel an association with him and he's teaching. Not that you want to necessarily hear this right now, but we've got a very good preacher here. He tries his best to communicate with us. We need to take the responsibility on our side. Are we communicating with him? Are we listening? Not every lesson is going to be just exactly right for you. Maybe there's somebody sitting two or three rows back that hasn't heard this. Maybe you've heard it 15 times in your life. That's okay. Appreciate you, Kyle. We need to appreciate him and we need to listen to him. We need to work with him. We need to know what God has told us. We're not going to know if we don't study. We're not going to know. And it implies in that scripture that rightly dividing the word of truth. We can wrongly divide the word of truth. So we need to be careful. We need to work on it. We need to communicate with the Scriptures, with God. He's talking to us in word form. We need to read it. We need to take the responsibility of learning it and understanding it. The other thing, we need to study. The other thing is we need to speak. We need to talk. We need to talk to God. God's talking. Or are we hearing? We also got to speak to him. That means prayer. That high school kid that I was when I graduated many, many years ago didn't pray like he should. And hopefully I'm getting better and better and better at it. I used to feel like I didn't know how to pray. Well, if you don't ever design a computer, you'll never learn. I'm not saying I want to design a computer. But you got to take an initiative and start. If you never do something, you're never going to get better at it. We need to speak to God. It needs to be multiple times a day. In Luke 6, chapter 12, "Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer." An example. Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. He went out to the mountain. He went to an isolated place. Think about that. Jesus Christ, holy man, holy God, on this earth, and he is praying to his Father. He went out one night to pray, and it was all night long. He's communicating with God. We need to communicate. We need to talk to him. We need to get better. We need to be Christ-like. He prayed. We should. Is it important? Yes. We need to pray about everything that is important in our lives. Speak to him. We need to pray about everything that we're anxious about. Talk to him. We need to pray about everything we're afraid of. As you get older, you just get afraid of more things. Those of you who are young and think, when I get older, I'm not going to be afraid. It doesn't go away. When we need things, we need to pray. When we're happy, we need to pray. When we need guidance, we need to pray. When we have the ear of the Creator, why wouldn't we pray about everything in this life that is important to us and about the life to come? We need to pray. Matthew 6, Sermon on the Mount. Jesus Christ is teaching or taught his disciples. It says, "Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased that one of his disciples said to him," it's right before the Sermon on the Mount, excuse me, "Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." So he said to them, "When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." I thought I had the King James Version. I don't think that's it. It sounds like the English Standard. Christ's apostles, who had him as a teacher, needed to be taught to pray. We need to be taught. Maybe we need some classes on prayer. I'm not sure. But if we look at the model prayer, this is what the model prayer is. If we look at the model prayer, Christ is teaching his disciples, this is what you needed to communicate with Jehovah. We need to praise him. It's an example. We need to be thankful. It is time for us to submit our wants, our needs. We need to submit to him, to God. We need to seek forgiveness because we sin. If we say in our heart that we do not sin, we're liars. We all sin. We come short of the glory of God. That's simple basics of a prayer. Now, once you have the simple basics, work on it. Are you going to be perfect at it? No. Are you going to be real good at it when you start? No. If you got little kids, they should be praying every day and you need to listen to them. Help them out. How do you say this? What do I ask for? What do I do? Encourage them. We are really fortunate here. We've got so many young kids. This is an exciting time for Olson Park. We need to go forward and we need to continue to grow with it. But on an individual stance, we need to learn how to pray. We need to help our kids know how to pray. Many scriptures teach prayer or mention prayer. 1 Timothy 2:8, Paul told Timothy, "I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting." We need to pray. James 5, 13 through 16. "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another. And pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We need to pray. We need to pray about our faith. We need to pray for one another. Sometimes we're sick. Sometimes we're sick spiritually. Sometimes we're sick physically. Sometimes we're off our foundation. How can people pray for you if they don't know you need help? We need to get away from our arrogant feelings about ourselves and let other people know we need help from time to time. It doesn't have to be everybody. You got friends, I hope, close. People that you trust that are Christians, ask them to pray for you. I think they will. We need to do that. If we are to be successful as a congregation and our goal of being fruitful for all of us, we need everyone to do their part. We need to work together. We need to communicate effectively with each other. We need to take responsibility for our communication with God. We need to be sure we are doing the basics of communication. We need to listen. We need to read what God is communicating to us every day. We need to speak. We need to pray to our Father in heaven every day. We need to do it multiple times with all our for all our needs. I meant to share with you. I kind of missed it, but basically the two things I think we need to work with, look in the mirror, you. We need to start being sure we're praying on a daily basis. Talk to God. He puts us all in a position that does help Olson Park be successful. But if we don't do our individual jobs, Olson Park as a whole is not. Pray. Study. Read. Ask. Some people may not know how. I think there was a very long time I didn't know how to study. I didn't know how to pray. I've been working on it for years. I still need to work on it. But you know what? If you're not an individual that just reads the Bible and you can learn things and go forward, there's all kinds of literature out here. Safe literature that we can work. Kyle writes a faithful saying in the bulletin every week. There's two of them in your mailbox this morning. He's good at what he writes. You got a question? Ask him about it. He'd probably be more than happy to discuss it with you. There's not the only one. I'm not trying to sell this. There's magazines out there, guys, where faithful gospel preachers, sound and foundation, write. Do you have any of them coming to your home? Probably might need one or two if you learn that way. I learn from articles a whole lot easier than when I just read scriptures and try to interpret it. I miss something sometimes. I have to have somebody explain it to me. Like I said, that high school kid that graduated many, many years ago wasn't really smart. It's available to us. Find it. If you don't know where they are, ask. Somebody can help. But also, please, let's all work on our prayer lives on a daily basis, more than once a day. Scriptures tell us we're supposed to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you walk around constantly and not concentrating on your driving. But it does mean, I think, as I've grown older, it's an ongoing conversation with God. Where am I at? What do I need? What do I need to learn? What I need to do? Now, like I said, this is not a lesson for being fruitful as a congregation. Those things are going to come. I think more will come for us being fruitful to get on an individual basis. Let's try to come together as a group. Let's pull on the rope the same direction. And I think we will see some amazing things done if we will work together. Is everybody going to do it? No. You never have 100% participation. Should we get upset when everybody's not doing it? No. Let's be the one who steps up. Let's be the one that works. We're coming out of COVID. but start to make some changes and get back to where we need to be and do some things. I know the elders have discussed this for months, and we have some other things we think that will help, but we're kind of waiting and trying to be careful, and we're trying to do what's best for everybody. We are not all-knowing, and we're not perfect. We make mistakes, but we're trying our best. And we've got some deacons that are working hard. Now we need the members to fall in and start working. If there's things you want to do and we haven't mentioned it, ask somebody. Tell somebody. Our deacons will talk to you. Our elders will talk to you. Kyle will talk to you. The person sitting next to you may be able to answer you. If not, they can give you some place to go. We need to be fruitful. If you're not a Christian, you're not even on the right plane to start to being fruitful towards God. If you have a need and want to become a Christian, we have the things that we need here to help you get started. But you got to take that first step and start. If you have other things, and you've been a Christian a long time, but you want help and you want everybody to know the help you need or us, and you want to come forward, we invite you. Please come as we sing the song of invitation.